I'm Dean Murdoch, and this is Amazing Places.
Welcome to another episode of Amazing Places. Today, I've got a couple of folks who are here to talk about building height. And there are a couple of folks that you probably have heard from or read about quite a bit. Matt Dell is the host of the Best Coast Political Podcast and is a member of the Victoria Community Association Network. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Dean. Great to talk to you tonight.
Thanks so much for joining. And Thomas Guerrero is the author of Sidewalking Victoria. Welcome back, Thomas.
Thanks, Dean. Happy to chat with you again.
It's great to have you both here. So I really wanted to have you both on the topic of height, building height, as we're seeing some interesting stuff going on in the city of Victoria, where building heights are reaching a new standard. And so I wanted to get your opinion, but before we get into that, I would love to hear a little bit about some of the work that you both do, I guess, in your spare time, podcasting and blogging. So I want to, well, first of all, acknowledge a fellow host of a local podcast in the Greater Victoria area. Matt, tell us a little bit about the Best Coast Political Podcast.
So we've been doing this for maybe half a year now. The intent of our podcast was to be a long form podcast that kind of mimicked when a bunch of friends got together at a pub and had a great discussion about a local or provincial political issue. And we kept having these, particularly my friend Jeremy, who's a co-host, and I, and they were really, really good for my own learning and understanding more about different issues. And we thought, hey, why not just record these? Let's record them, put them online. If someone listens, great. If no one listens, that's fine. But it'll push us to get, explore new ideas, a good way to meet new people. For example, the first time I met Jeremy, we just got into this great discussion on whether the NDP and the Green Party should merge. And I don't know, should they not, who knows, but it was a fun discussion. We went through all the big issues, we talked about the logistics, and I thought there's a lot of those issues that I think we need to have an open place for people to discuss these kind of things anymore. Online, it's clearly not working for a lot of community consensus, and so that's been the intent of our show, Victoria Politics, BC Politics. We've been doing things on land use, homelessness, arts is going to be another big issue. So it's been pretty fun so far. And hopefully, Dean, I came on your show first, but hopefully I can return the favor at some point in the future.
I knew it would be just a matter of time until there was some cross-referencing between the two podcasts. So I'm so delighted that I got to have you on Amazing Places first.
Thank you. Yes.
Thomas, tell us a little bit about Sidewalking Victoria.
Yeah, so Sidewalking Victoria, I think I started writing it back in, I think it was 2016, and really just at first, started as an outlet for me to sort of present my vision of Victoria, the way I see the city. And it's kind of gone from there where I've really focused in on a lot of pedestrian issues, but also, things around the city that I'd like to see changed or improved. And it's just a great outlet for me. I also do a little bit of photography on there as well, and it's just a really enjoyable thing. And it's great that I've been able to sort of leverage that to, help some other things that are happening in the city. Like recently with the pandemic stuff, was able to use my blog as a little bit of a puppet for the extended pedestrian spaces in places like North Park Village, which was a great addition. So. Yeah.
Wonderful. Really enjoy both the podcast and the blog. For those who are interested in digging back into the Amazing Places archives, you can find the episode that Thomas and I did together back in the summer of 2020. It's episode number 5, The Future is Local. So I encourage you to go back and check that one out if you've got a chance or you've got a hankering to hear more episodes of Amazing Places. You've both done some work on the topic that we're going to get to today, and that's height, particularly as it relates to the city of Victoria. But I think we can go broader than that and talk about the height that we are seeing around the capital region. Matt, a recent episode of your podcast, I think the most recent episode of the podcast, featured this discussion and focused around the new proposal at Harris Green, but talked a little more about density and what the official community plan calls for in the city of Victoria. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you covered there, and then we'll jump into why height is even relevant to the discussion?
Yeah, I think height is just one of those taboo issues in the city where there's a lot of mixed feelings about building height. Most people who are outside of the world of urban planning don't know how to feel about building height. And I'm the exact same way. I've just been coming into this more and more going, what is an approximate building height in Victoria? And it's just nice to have a conversation about that and try to break down some of the misconceptions people have. Everyone cares about the city. We want to make sure it's beautiful. We care about housing affordability. At the same time, we don't want to become the next New York City. People like living in Saanich and Victoria for a reason. And where's the middle ground in there? And that's what we were trying to explore. And the reason for it is we have a company, basically an international developer, who's going to redevelop an entire building block on Yates Street in between Vancouver and Quadra. And it's going to include five towers, including the tallest, which will be 32 stories. That's about 6 or 7 stories taller than our current tallest building at 25 stories. And a lot of people are upset about this. And there's part of me that's a little upset, and there's part of me that is going, why are you upset about this? This is just going to be more space for people to live. 32 stories is still half the size of Vancouver. So we had a guy named Ian Sutherland, who's the head of the Downtown Residents Association. He's a civil engineer, and he came in and just explained the concept of height, which is how tall it is, and density, which is how the mass essentially on the building block, that's the height, and how big the setbacks are. And I think we found some common ground. I know a few of my friends have the view that Victoria shouldn't go anything over 7 stories. We want to be a classic European city. And you know what? That sounds pretty good to part of my brain, but there's the other part that's going, I don't think that's going to solve some of the challenges that we have. And frankly, what is it that we don't like about tall buildings? The look of it and the shadows, and that's about it. And so it's just nice to discuss these. And I'm interested in your opinion, Dean, obviously in Saanich, because I think Saanich sometimes sits a little bit outside of this discussion and goes, well, just don't bring any height here. Let's talk about Victoria. And I think we see, especially in Uptown, down to Mayfair, all the way down in that area in between Douglas and Blanchard, particularly in Saanich, is an area where you could really have some nice buildings that stay out of the old town of the downtown core anyway. And I don't know how Saanich feels about that. So I'd love to get your thoughts on that. And Thomas has done some great work that I've learned a lot from as well.
Well, I know that, Saanich is going to have to deal with it right away. I think they believe, and Dean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Uptown is now proposing a 24-story building on that sort of vacant spot at the back of the mall there.
Wow. Okay. So that's that's a good location for some added height, I would say, right?
It's interesting. I'm one who doesn't like some of the just random tall buildings, in places. I think that there needs to be some sort of, if you're going to have tall buildings around Uptown, that's great. As long as there's some idea that we're going to create a cluster there. I'm not a fan of when you go into, some cities and you'll just see your random one tall building there, and then you go another 2 miles away and there's another random tall building. I don't think that necessarily, and that gets into a lot into what I think Ian was saying on your podcast when he talked about, that impact of a large building coming in and then raising the value of the lots around it. If you don't have that sort of targeted grouping of height in an area, then you come in and put in a 5-to-1 density building at 25 stories next to 1-story buildings, all of a sudden those 1-story buildings skyrocket in value. And that's one of the things that he talked a little bit about when it came to the challenge of height and affordability, which I don't think we're going to see necessarily as the negative in when it comes to the Yates Street proposal at Harris Green.
So I can, I don't pretend to speak knowledgeably on the insides of what's going on in proposals in Saanich. I think Uptown is where you are going to see the height occur. 24 stories, I'm not sure if that's something that will eventually be approved in that location. But if you are going to see height of any significance in Saanich, it's certainly in that corridor. And the OCP, which is now 12 years old or 13 years old in Saanich, does call for densification and height to occur around that major center. And Saanich has a number of major centers around the municipality, but that is the major center, the super center, where you're going to see that kind of density occur. And, you know, I think one of the most logical places for height to go in Saanich, just because you've got such fantastic services, transportation amenities, and would really, I think, have a significant benefit for folks who are looking to venture in any direction on the South Island. I mean, that really is sort of the crossroads of the Lower Island, and
really is.
And I think is a place where it would be desirable for people to find housing. But outside of Saanich, I'm really curious. Thomas, you've spoken a lot, or I've read a number of things that you've written, where you talk about height and you talk about kind of the trade-offs that occur and some of the things that people maybe want to be paying attention to when it comes to height, that becomes sort of the centerpiece of the argument. But from your perspective, maybe there are other things that are relevant to that conversation as well.
Thanks, Dean. Yeah, I mean, really one of the things for me is, and I often say this, is that the height of a building is irrelevant, which, you know, really is probably just more to get people going than anything else. But I'm not a huge, I don't want to see, you know, 50 story buildings all over Victoria. What I want to see though, is I want to see a good amount of density, and that usually needs to be supported through some height. But the way to support that from, you know, the sort of individual pedestrian perspective is to have a really great ground floor and really great ground floor interaction with the sidewalk. And to be honest, you know, if you're walking down like past, what's some good examples? If you're walking past the Atrium building, or you compare that to walking down, you know, Lower Johnson, I would bet that most people, if you ask them on the street, you know, how tall is the building next to you, they're not going to be able to tell you if it's 3 stories tall, 4 stories tall, 8 stories tall. And because they're so focused on that great retail perspective that you have along the street. And if you give people, you know, something to be paying attention to other than, you know, a 25, 30 story building above them, then that's what they're going to focus on. And so that's what we need to do is we spent all this time in Victoria, you know, being so worried about, oh my God, it's a 32 story building being proposed. If we just forgot about that and said, you want to build a 32 story building, it's going to have the best ground floor you've ever seen, then I think that would, you know, make those developers actually really focus in on that. Instead, they just sit there and they chip away at, you know, take it down to 31 stories and they change the cladding on the, you know, the 14th to the 18th story. That doesn't matter at all. What we need to be focusing on is getting them to actually, you know, build some proper height on the ground floors, because you want your ground floor to be at least, you know, 15 feet high so that you can have some really big windows in there, let that light out onto the sidewalk, give that permeability so that people can move in and out. And if we've told developers that that's what we want, that's what we've got to focus on. And that if you're going to build a 32 story building, that's fine, but it's going to have a great ground floor. Then I think that we'd actually have a better outcome for us as citizens.
I agree. I think another thing that ties into that is the public space. Making sure that we have, great transit or great walkability, bikeability to public space, public green space downtown, because that's what really is going to make it livable and make downtown engaging for people. And I like going to a nice busy downtown. It's a nice place to go. My family downtown Vancouver, they like the feel of it all, but it needs to be supportive with public space, with green space, with safe streets, wide sidewalks, pathways between the building, which is something we don't do too well in Victoria. I know we've built a couple of new towers, the yellow being one that had public walkways. Well, what I thought were public walkways, and next thing you know, they're boarded up. And
that one is a public walkway. It's there's a right of way on title for that building.
Yeah. So. And so that's the kind of thing that makes a city feel vibrant to me. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, truthfully, I haven't seen that as a priority as much as I would like to in Victoria, where it's a downtown where you can kind of cut between streets and maybe there's little cafes or doors going into commercial areas down side streets or pathways. And I hope that we can, I completely agree with your idea, Thomas, that the stories take away our focus and what's much more meaningful is on the ground floor. And that is what old Victoria is to a lot of us. We want to retain that maybe the European feel. People talk about that a lot in regards to Victoria. And I don't know if it's so much the building height, but it's that vibrancy on the ground where we want, I don't know, so musicians playing or food trucks or whatever it may be.
I will. I mean, if I could, Dean, just jump in on that European feel thing, because I mean, I agree. You know what? Like, I mean, if we could have, like, you know, create, you know, a central Paris district in the middle of Victoria, that'd be great. But the thing is that we can't, to a certain extent. I mean, maybe in Old Town we have that opportunity, but you know, most of Victoria was built, you know, well into the, you know, 30s and 40s when we were actually planning for cars, and so a lot of our streets are quite wide. And if you compare that to European cities, which people always say, oh yeah, we want to make it like Europe. Well, we can't because our streets are too wide. The reason that they're able to get that kind of density of people into those European cities is because their buildings are much closer together. So you can have, you know, a whole group of 7-story buildings and we'd have a much higher population than you would in the same sort of area we see in Victoria. And that's one of the challenges we have. So unless we want to start, like, you know, cutting up streets and making them a little bit more narrow so we can build more buildings on them, really having that kind of density that we need to create the vibrancy is not possible without allowing some of those buildings to get a little bit taller.
Interesting.
So what is the fascination with height? Do you attribute it to the concern that we're going to be the next Vancouver, Toronto, or even New York? Or is it really just this sort of quaint idea of Victoria staying small, in spite of the fact that we've become obviously a major target for residential growth, that there's this fantasy that we're going to continue to be a small little town, and there's really no reason to try and create residences for the reality of the number of folks who are moving to Vancouver Island?
I can jump in. I mean, I think that you know, really it's a couple of things. First of all, height is an easy target. If you don't want to develop, I mean, a lot of times when it comes to development, a lot of people don't want to see, you know, major development at all. And I think that height is an easy target, because if you're looking at, you know, buildings around a certain area being at, you know, sort of the 12 to 14, and this one wants to come in at, you know, 25, saying, hey, you know what, that's 10 stories higher than everything else around here. Let's focus on that, because that's something that everybody else can kind of jump behind. But I do think that there's also a piece of it that does link into sort of that sense of place, in that some people see Victoria as that sort of quaint, small town of maybe, like, you know, 25, 30 years ago, and haven't really sort of understood that we're dealing with thousands of people moving into the South Island on a yearly basis, and we need to find houses for them. Or as I've said, you know, we're going to continue to see our housing affordability completely disappear. So, I mean, it's a trade-off. You know, we can build buildings downtown for people to live in that are going to be a little bit taller, or we can continue to cut down vast forests out in Langford, which, you know, always interests me when we see, you know, people get upset about a building causing one tree in Victoria to get cut down, whereas, you know, an entire forest will get cut down for 20 houses out in Langford and nobody even bats an eye. And then, or we can continue to, you know, see house pricing escalate on the South Island. And we have to choose one of those things.
Yeah, it's interesting, because one of the criticisms of height is you talk about sight lines. And in Vancouver, this was a big issue, is that they want to protect the view of the mountain from the people who are kind of living from First Street up to 25th, the Queen Elizabeth Park. For those people who looked over the mountains, Vancouver's spent a lot of time thinking about the sight lines of those people. And it's in Victoria, I would argue that Victoria is not a sight line city. It's generally flat. I live in, you know, kind of Oak Bay. I can't see downtown. the only spot you can see downtown is really kind of from up on Christmas Hill and up on the hill going up Cook Street above Hillside, and you get some views into downtown. But I, from the views that I've seen, you know, a couple of taller buildings is not going to block. It's not going to be as intrusive as in Vancouver, where they're so defined by that classic mountain view. So I don't find it to be a particularly powerful argument in Victoria that the views are going to be blocked out, because there really isn't that many views compared to other cities. And this is interesting because Kelowna is going to, it's a completely different views in Kelowna. Kelowna actually right now is building a 42-story building. So they're up in the high 30s right now. They're building a 42 right downtown. And Kelowna, the views are completely different. People live up on the valley side generally and look down into downtown. So a tall building in the valley also won't really block anything in Kelowna. So, you know, arguably you could really build up downtown Kelowna. So I don't find that views argument really works here. Not for me anyway. I wouldn't feel like I'm missing any views. It would be more downtown, I guess. Do you want to feel like you're downtown Vancouver if that's the vibe you get? And I don't think that's the case for me. When I walk by the atrium, when I walk by the new Jal building across from City Hall, they've done such a good job on the ground floor, like you said, Thomas, with adding the restaurant space, nice big public sidewalks, that those areas feel like some of the best blocks in Victoria, I would say. They're not that tall, arguably, but it shows what you can do with a proper ground floor.
But they actually have quite high density, both of those buildings, which is really the key, and they're commercial, obviously, which is different than the way that you have. I mean, because of residential buildings, you can't have them as wide as a commercial building, so you have to kind of squish them in, which makes them go up more, just because you have to have the light, you know, enter into all the parts of a house.
Another interesting thing in Kelowna, that 42-story, what I think has changed a lot. That one, for example, has commercial. The second floor is a full childcare center, which is becoming more common in these tall buildings. There's about 10 or 15 floors of rental, and then there's market housing, and then the top floor is going to be accessible to anybody. So they're really creating multi-use buildings that I think are a lot more valuable to the values of Victorians than maybe your classic skyscraper where the whole thing are expensive condos. So I think for a lot of families, the thought of living in a building, or say a grandparent where their grandchild goes to a daycare on the first or second floor, is hugely appealing. And I live in a single family house, and I got to admit, you know, there's a part of me that maybe in retirement or whatever that's going, that sounds kind of like a perfect spot where I would want to be living, especially with a view maybe of the day, whether it be the ocean or the city, I don't really care. So the design is changing with this mix of uses that I think is appealing to a lot of people.
Well, one of the things that came up, I think, in the episode of your podcast, Matt, was that in some ways, I think the reason that we're seeing these, well, there are a number of contributing factors, but for in some ways, the reason that we're seeing this focus on height downtown is because it might be easier in a way to get away with building large residential towers downtown than it is to try and tackle infill in some of the established neighborhoods. And that, you know, we talked about Saanich earlier on, is the major challenge in Saanich, you know, that there is largely suburban areas, suburban neighborhoods in Saanich where height was never contemplated and multifamily was never contemplated until the last decade or so. So you're seeing neighbors butting up against proponents of, you know, relatively low rise multifamily developments because there's this conflict with the folks who've lived in the neighborhood for decades, made a significant investment to be there. And they are recognizing that there is a risk to them of considerable change happening in the area that they have loved, known and loved for many, many years. And I can't help but wonder if maybe that's partly what's at play here with the height downtown, that it's just, even though it's, you know, a long, arduous process, the challenges are not the same as trying to create infill in those established neighborhoods that are outside the downtown core.
Yeah, well, and listening to Ian talk on Matt's podcast, he did an excellent job of not answering that question. I think in trying not to upset his fellow community network presidents, But I think you're spot on, Dean. If you go back to the OCP for Victoria, it really does, it pushes height. It wants height in along Harris Green and going north from the Hudson area. But it also does say that we want to increase density in our neighborhood urban centers. And you just look at like Cook Street Village and the fights that they've had over, the very modest buildings that have been added down there, even to the point of trying to get, Cook Street Village actually change its standing within the OCP to make it a lower density neighborhood center. And obviously it's not. I mean, it's a major neighborhood center for Victoria, but it's nearly impossible. And why would a developer want to put it, put in that much effort to get a, six-story building built in Cook Street Village when they could probably get away with building a 14-story building? Probably the land's not going to be any more expensive downtown than it would be in Fairfield, and they can get a lot more density and build a building probably with a little bit less resistance.
Yeah, I completely agree. I see that. Absolutely. I see that in the communities. I'm the president of South Jubilee. I have been for 3 or 4 years, and the VCAN, which I sit on, is all the communities. And it's a huge concern. And I think some people go, well, we know we don't want the towers, but we do want to see some young people who are into housing affordability say, we don't want towers, but we want to see more infill in the neighborhoods. And I'm like, have you been to a community association meeting? Because good luck. You want to put 4-story condos on the residential neighborhood? That's going to be a bigger battle than you expect. And that's kind of the missing middle housing piece. We talk about duplexes, triplexes, townhouse complexes, smaller little apartment buildings. For a lot of communities, that's a really tough issue to this pill to swallow for their neighborhood. And, I'm rethinking of this all now because I live in a single family house with a family in South Jubilee. And I'm going like, really, would it be that bad? There's actually a little apartment that at the end of my street. It used to be a fire hall in South Jubilee. And that fire hall has been about 12 units. And I go, well, what if they were proposing that 12 unit now? Oof, it would probably be like hell would break loose. But actually, one of my good friends lives in there. There's a couple of families that live in there. It's a cute little building. And it really adds vibrancy to our neighborhood. So I have to admit, I couldn't in good faith oppose more buildings like that. And so this is what the city of Victoria is looking at right now. It's called blanket rezoning, as I'm sure you both know, where they would essentially rezone the entire city or parts of the city with blanket zoning. So all single family houses would now be allowed to be accommodated duplex or a triplex. And it could get a bit more complex in there. And there's design guidelines. There are some concerns. I heard from someone the other day was concerned about trees. Okay, well, does this mean that you're allowed to cut down more trees than... And this is an argument that folks use when they perhaps don't agree with blanket zoning. And I'm going to acknowledge that. I think there is there's some valid concerns there, of course. Like at some point, we do have to be protecting trees here. And I think we can do both. We can build more density and we can protect some of those trees that are special. The back alley back behind me here is lined with Gary Oaks that are, I don't know, whatever, 100 years old. And, people do care about that stuff. So it's going to take a while. The episode with Pam Madoff, she got into talking a fair bit about the design guidelines. So people aren't just putting up cookie cutter townhouses that perhaps take away from the character of the neighborhood, but really designing, if it's a heritage neighborhood, then the duplex is going to have to fit in with the heritage design or add something to the character of the neighborhood. And I agree with that approach. So I'm hoping we can find a bit more of a middle ground on this blanket zoning. The other question I would throw out there is, what if we did both? What if we add density downtown and we add density in our neighborhoods that fits with the character of the neighborhood? And it's tough. I think sometimes I sit back and I look at someone who is really struggling with housing affordability, someone that's perhaps working minimum wage job, someone, whatever, we see people out there, and I think we have a moral obligation to really help address the housing affordability issue, because it creates significant challenges on a lot of people's lives. And for people who don't have a housing affordability issue, that's me, perhaps that's you guys. You don't think about this stuff as much, but there's a lot of people out there who are very dangerous, difficult for them. And I think we have the obligation to make sure that everyone can afford a place. There's families that are raising kids that can barely afford it. And what does that do on the kids, on their lives, on the stress? of maybe not being able to afford clothing or school supplies. So I'm glad we're talking about it. And I hope Victoria is a slow city to change, and it's going to take a lot of listening, and it's going to take a lot of collaboration, and we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that we do have to think about is that we've become a city that people are taking notice of, especially across Canada, as a place to move, whether it's for retirement or you're working in tech and you want to find a place to, you know, you want to, you know, move out west. And so we have a huge amount of people moving here. You know, Victoria, the greater Victoria area has crested over 400,000 people. And we're looking at, you know, just in greater Victoria, I think the city of Victoria grows by about 5,000 or 6,000 people, every census. So that's, you know, 1,000 or so people a year. And those people need places to live. And if we're not putting them into new places, then they're either cramming into another place, with somebody else, which is just, you know, going to make for some really poor living conditions for people, or we're going to see prices keep going up. And I think there's one of the benefits of, you know, adding density, whether it's downtown or into the neighborhoods, is that it actually does allow for people to stay in their neighborhoods longer, because, you know, when you retire, you don't necessarily need to be in that single family house anymore. You can move just down the street and maybe move into either, you know, a long-term care facility that's been built, or you can move into a new four-story or taller condo building in your neighborhood, and you get to stay in your community that you already know. So I think there's a lot of benefit to that.
Yeah,
I think absolutely. Matt, I think in response to the question that you put about, you know, is it densifying downtown or is it changing the types of housing that we see in those established neighborhoods, or is it both? And I think it is a mix of all of those things. I think that, you know, there are some folks for whom a downtown condo is not going to be ideal. And so having that as the only available option, I think is a trap that a lot of cities do fall into, that, you know, they view that as the way that they're going to accommodate new growth and densifying their downtown, thinking that that's going to be the most desirable place for people to choose to go to. And, you know, I'm sure for a lot of folks, that is a desirable option. But as Thomas said, you know, we've got people moving to Greater Victoria from really all parts of the world and from all across Canada. And I think this pandemic has demonstrated the ease with which people are able to work remotely. And so that really, I think, further unlocks Victoria's potential, that you can have jobs from all over the place where people are able to work in their own neighborhoods. So they're obviously going to want to settle in a very desirable place. And Greater Victoria is without a doubt a very desirable place. So I think it's creating those opportunities for some densification in the established neighborhoods, so that you have, Matt, you referred to it as the missing middle. You create the duplexes, the triplexes, the townhouses, so that there are those opportunities for young families, for people who just want a different kind of living space than what you'd find in a condo. And that is going to be the challenge. I think that we're living through that the period in which we're going to see a significant transition in all of the communities around Greater Victoria, as we move from that single family dominant structure in our neighborhoods into a mix. And I think ideally, you know, it's going to be a challenge. Councils are going to have a very difficult time trying to reconcile that as neighbors come out concerned about the quality and character of the neighborhood where they live. But the upshot is going to be, we'll be creating complete communities. We're going to have a diversity of housing options that allows for a lot of different folks to live in our neighborhoods. And we, I think, will be the beneficiaries of that, that it will really enrich the quality of our neighborhoods as a result of those changes. But for those members of council who are going to endure that over the next decade, it's going to be a very difficult time.
It is. You know, we don't really know what's going to happen post-pandemic in any city, really in North America, but looking at Victoria in particular, you know, we don't know what you know percentage of people are going to come back and continue to work in downtown Victoria. And one of our opportunities, I think, for mitigation is, you know, and coming back to building height, is if we can, you know, create some density of people living in, you know, some build condos downtown, that are working from home, because there's going to be more people working from home, certainly, that might be a mitigation strategy against the loss of some of those office workers, which we are for sure going to see some, we just don't know how much. And we're going to need people, more people living downtown then to support all those great businesses we have, especially because we're going to see a slow return to tourism over the next few years. And we want all these great businesses we have in Victoria, because we have an amazing small retail store collection in downtown Victoria, and I don't want to lose them. And, you know, giving people places to live downtown is one way we can help support those businesses by, you know, ensuring that there is people there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing I liked about the Starlight development, as much as this trigger in my mind said, oh, it's really tall, and perhaps it's a bit too tall, but it's all rentals. The whole thing is rentals, a million square feet of rentals. A million square feet. I don't know who is going to move into those people, but there will be a flood of people into these buildings that's going to be opening up basement suites and opening up all these other areas. And it's just really hard to deny. And so I appreciate that. I don't know if that's council that put that on, I believe that is Starlight's choice, because they're getting into the, you know, rentals are incredibly expensive now. But it's going to have so much vibrancy to have those people downtown. Those are the people who are going to the pubs, who are buying coffees, who are doing the things that when I go down the weekend, all that stuff is already there for me, because other people are living it midweek, and it makes downtown. And arguably, people will really not like me for saying this, but one of the problems with my neighborhood is actually not enough people in it. Like my son, technically, he only has two friends in my whole neighborhood that are his age. And, you know, I like a bit more people. I wouldn't mind more people when I go down the coffee shop. There's more friends there. And I think what people are concerned about is speed in the building. So, yes, we all can care about speed. And this will be downtown as well. And I think that's a challenge with Vancouver. Sometimes you go down, say, Granville Street or some of those big streets. It can be pretty fast. Lots of roads on it. And you go, wow, it must be fast because it's high. And it doesn't, like you were saying, what Europe high doesn't necessarily mean to be fast. And we're seeing that as these cities are converting road space over to pedestrian space again. And then it's just a beautiful spot to hang out in. So I would love to see a more vibrant downtown Victoria, you know, especially in the pub and the music scene. We've been losing music venues, which I've done a couple episodes on already. A lot of music venues. We lost Copper Owl. We lost Logan's Pub. We lost Steamer's Pub a long time ago when I was here. And, you know, as I've been playing music here for 20 years, and truthfully, it kind of sucks. It's like, why can't we have some more of these? And I think because there's perhaps not enough people downtown to support them.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. You know, we do need those groups of people downtown to make anything successful, whether it's, you know, we want to have a really vibrant market downtown, or we want to have, you know, great, you know, parks that we go into and feel safe in, walking along streets downtown at night. They all require people, and those people, you know, need places to live. And unfortunately, we can't build, you know, a building at, you know, 6 floors and 6-1 density. You know, we really do need to sort of squeeze them in to make them work. And that squeezing is going to push that building up. You know, and I'm not saying that we need to have a 30-story building everywhere. I would, you know, not, you know, necessarily want to see that, but we do need to have the density downtown, and that's going to result in height. And if we build a great ground floor, I think that people are really not going to notice how tall it is.
Yeah, the concept of height, you know, it's a mystery to a lot of people, and I'm saying that because it was a bit of a mystery to me on what is the proper height. I've been exploring it a lot lately, just as a community association guy and a dad who wants to build a great city for my kids. And I think height is an emotional issue for a lot of people. But, you know, I'd like to move away from height a little bit and work on how height can add to the vibrancy of our downtown, and more focus on community spaces, on pedestrian friendly roads, on a vibrant downtown, and perhaps explore how height can help that stuff rather than how it will destroy and hurt that stuff, which I don't think there's much evidence that it will. So I really appreciate you having us on, Dean, just to at least talk about this amongst friends, and hopefully other people will engage with it, and we can all learn from others, and hopefully kind of bring other people along to find a better spot for our city and for Saanich.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Thanks, Dean.
Matt Dell is the host of the Best Coast Political Podcast and is a member of the Victoria Community Association Network. Thomas Guerrero is the author of Sidewalking Victoria. Thank you both so much for this great chat. I feel like we probably could have gone another couple of hours just talking about housing alone.
Thanks, Dean.